Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
So, what I want to speak about tonight is something that I think applies to all of us at some point in our life. And you'd hope that when you come to church, you're able to come and it applies to you. And it does. And I encourage you that even if you think that this is not me, or perhaps this is me in the future, or this has been me and it's not me anymore, I encourage you to still lean into what God is saying to us tonight. Because when I sat down to write this message, I sat down to a blank notebook, and that is rare when I come into speaking a message. And I sat down and it took me half an hour just of God, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Praying and seeking and whatever, to finally get at the smidgen of a topic. And I went through all of the stuff that God had given me over the last years, and you know, I was just like, what do you want me to speak about? And it came so clearly. So it gives me confidence that it is for people here tonight. So you are in church tonight for a reason, and the word of God is for you tonight. Okay? Amen? All right. So open up your Bibles, please. And I'm going to wait until you have them open before I start speaking. If you don't have a Bible with you, open your app, get your phone. I'm seeing phones come out. I'm seeing people still with phones in their pockets. Grab it out. And I want you to turn to the book of John. It's good for us to be practical in using our Bibles in church. Helps us flick. Good, Dave. Dave's got the real thing. Well, it's all the real thing, but he's got the book version. The book version. All right, John chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 5, please. And if you didn't bring your Bible tonight, it's all good. I got it on the screen. I've got you covered tonight. John chapter 4, verse 5. I'm going to read to 14. So it says this. So he came to a city of Samaria, this is Jesus, came to a city of Samaria which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Just pause there for a sec, thanks, Cayman. So Jesus was tired. I was going to say Jesus was stuffed. He probably was. He was really tired. Can I say that? I just did. Jesus was tired. He walked from Judea to Galilee, and it was about 80 kilometers. So if you think about that from here, he walked from here to about Werribee. Like, it's a decent walk. It took about 14 hours to do that walk. We complain about being in a plane for 14 hours or going on a 14-hour car drive or 6 hours at a time, whatever. Jesus walked with his disciples for 14 hours. And I don't know about you, but often I think about these moments with Jesus and I think, Jesus, why don't you just like snap your fingers and like teleport over to where you need to be? Save yourself a lot of time. Take the disciples with you. Why not? But Jesus is fulfilling things in being a man and going, all right, well, if you guys are walking, I'm walking, and we're doing this together. So he gets to this well, and before I say that, often I think we have that same mindset sometimes, and we think, God, why can't you just click your fingers and give us this miracle straight away? Whether it be something that we absolutely desire, we need a miracle in our lives, or whether it's something for our own convenience, we wish, God, you would just click your fingers and make it happen. But without understanding the big picture, we understand that there is a walk that we need to do, and there is a process that we need to walk through in order to see God's will fulfilled in our lives. And sometimes that does not make it happen. So Jesus was tired. Here he is. He's landed with his disciples in Samaria at this well. And verse 7, thanks, Cayman. It says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy some food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered in verse 10 and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. At this point, before we go on to verse 11, she misunderstands him. And then he says this. The woman says this to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? I like to imagine Jesus reaching into his back pocket and flipping out this really big straw that he's, this is how you do it. This is how we do it. But it's not how it happened. He didn't do that, thankfully, because that would be not good for this story. Are you greater than our father Jacob, she says, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered her and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. That's what we're going to land on tonight. So let's bow our heads, let's pray, let's dedicate this moment here to God. Father, we thank you that we can come here to church. We thank you that we can look at your word and hear from you tonight. And Father, we make a decision right now to allow you to speak into our lives. Because we know the more that we can get closer to you, like Matt prayed, the more we can become like your son, the more people around us will begin to know you, Lord God. So have your way in us. We decide to open up our hearts to you tonight so that you can have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. As far as I'm concerned, there are two types of people in the world. You are a morning person or you are not. Who here is a morning person? We will pray for you later. You can't. They do what we can't, exactly. You guys are the balancing act to us who can't get up in the morning. So I say can't get up in the morning. My wife would disagree. She's like, you can get up and you should get up, but you don't get up, so get up. I get it all the time. But I'm definitely not a morning person. And in my teenage years, I was definitely found not to be a morning person. And my parents, to get me up out of bed, would end up doing whatever they could. And they'd take to getting a little water sprayer and spraying it on my face and spraying it on my legs and spraying it on my feet and wherever else was sticking out of the bed. And it got to the point where I remember one day, and I think this happened more than once, that my dad would pick me up out of bed and take me outside and just throw me in the pool. If you don't get up, you're going in the pool, he used to say. And sure enough, I went in the pool. And you know, there's nothing that wakes you up like being thrown into a pool. You are up and you are about and you are ready to go for the day. It's refreshing, even though it's inconvenient for you at that point to be thrown into the pool. And so the title of the message tonight and what I want to talk about is this. Thanks, Cayman. Ice water in the desert. Ice water in the desert. And if you want to put a real title in that makes sense, refreshed and rejuvenated. That's what it's about tonight, being refreshed and rejuvenated. When do we feel most refreshed and most rejuvenated? Tell me, when? When you wake up after a sleep, what else? After a shower, yes, what else? After a holiday, perfect, yes, what else? After a swim, after a morning coffee, after exercise, perfect. After worshiping Jesus. The right answer, Julia. The right answer. Very good. I also had all of those jumping in cold water and also drinking a cold drink when you're hot. But it always comes, these things always come after we've done, the refreshing comes after we have actually performed the action, not before. It comes after we perform an action to become refreshed. And it feels good to be rejuvenated, does it not? We feel like we have clarity in our mind sometimes. We feel like we are energetic. We feel like we're extra motivated. We're alert. And they're all good things for many, many areas of our lives. But like Jesus was talking about in the passage, I don't want us to just focus on the physical side of things. But I want us to focus on what it is like when we're not tired on the physical, but our souls are tired. When we are tired from the inside out. And it's a deep sort of tiredness. And let me look at it this way. Let me put it this way. So physically, you can go to work and you can have a hard day. It can be, you can work hard, you can do what you need to do. Or our kids have given us a hard day, those little thorns in our flesh, those children, we love them, thank you God for them. Or we've exerted ourselves physically, and we can, with all these things, we can often refresh ourselves by going and doing something. We can carry out an action, we can have a sleep on the couch, or we can do some resting, or we can watch a movie, or we can have a bit of me time, whatever it is, and we recharge our batteries by that. But there's also that deeper level of tired. And I'm not sure you could be here tonight and you're like, man, I know exactly what you're talking about. And that is exactly what I'm feeling right now. You're tired. You are just tired right through your body. You're fatigued in your soul. And it can be from the culmination of work pressures. It can be family situations. It can be illness. It can be relationship pressures. I think it can also be from when we have decided to take a break from God, if that even makes sense to do, or there is a sin area in our life that just begins to make us feel tired. Like from the inside out, we are tired. It's an empty tank. And if we're not careful, maybe not immediately, but eventually this will lead to a sense of hopelessness in us. And we allow the natural and what we see and what we feel to determine the real us. Whereas it really needs to be, like, we should not be letting the natural and the physical and what we see determine who we are on the inside, but very much the opposite. We should allow what God is doing inside us and our hearts to determine what this ends up looking like. Do you know what I'm saying? Work on the inside, work on our hearts, and allow that to do the work for us on the outside. Not that we disregard the choices that we have to make, of course, but allow God to work on the inside. And when this tank inside of us gets empty, this tank I'm talking about, it's dangerous. Because if you've ever been close, who has ever run out of fuel before in your car? You've been on the side of the road, no petrol. About 30%, 20% of us. Oh. Quick hand. It's not me. Fortunately, I have never run out of fuel completely. However, I've been close a number of times. And if you've ever been close, you know what it's like when you become that crazy person behind the wheel, just looking, I need a petrol station. And you end up driving your car like it is made from glass, because it's like, I'm so careful, and if I put this, I might run out of petrol. And you're looking for that green light, and you don't want to put the brake on too much because you want to be able to slide as long as you can. And you do all these dangerous and crazy things. You pray so hard in that moment, am I right? God, let there be a petrol station around the corner. And then you figure out that it's behind you. Oh, do I turn around or do I keep going? I don't know. And we become crazy. And if you look at that in terms of our own lives and when we become empty in ourselves and we're looking for that petrol station, unfortunately, in that crazy moment, we get so desperate and delusional that we end up looking for fuel elsewhere. In our work status, or in our relationships, or in the secret actions that we might take that we think are going to give us what we need. But in the end, they are just damaging to our car because they are not the fuel that we need. Think about a midlife crisis point that some people get to. Satisfaction with life is down. Fuel in their life is down. Their realization of self-worth, because perhaps I've reached an age and I thought I should have done A, B, and C, but really I'm so far away from achieving what I thought I should be achieving by this point, that man, I'm just going to start searching somewhere else. And it's unfortunately a really sad point that a lot of people can get to. So what are the causes? What are the things that we need to avoid for this empty tank? Number one, thanks, Cayman. It's this: dodgy priorities. Dodgy priorities. Everything comes back to this. A few months ago, I spoke a message called Balanced, and we talked about our life balance, and Jacob came up here and helped me out with a bit of a weight analogy. I'm not going to get you to it tonight, so you don't get to show those guns tonight. But we had a weight, and he was able to lift it. It had some big weights on either side, and he was possible to actually do what he needed to do with this weight because it was evenly balanced. But as soon as you took something off one side, say it was, there was some good godly relationships, some good friends that you had on, and you decided, man, I just need to make some other friends. It was like taking a weight off that side and putting it on the other side. Or perhaps work came up and you needed to work on Sundays and you decided, well, church isn't quite a priority. So we take that weight off and put it on the other side. And what happens is when you try to lift that weight, you are expending so much energy just getting off the ground that you can't actually do what you want to do with it. There is no purpose in what you're doing anymore because it is so impossible to do. We exert so much energy to even get it up off the ground that we can't actually use it. And that's what happens sometimes when our life is unbalanced. We use so much fuel just trying to do one thing that we can't move on. And this is our priority system. In a simple, simple way, if you want to write this down, then do it. I'll take a photo. Thanks, Cammy. Priorities should be. There's not, like, these are not dodgy priorities. These are good priorities. First point is dodgy priorities. I just see how that looks. Good priorities. God number one. God number one. Yes? Oh, that's what I was waiting for, Pat. God number one. Number two, our families. Our families. As I was thinking about this before, what greater legacy is there for us to leave on earth than our families? And our families just coming to know God and be able to believe and be able to see other people come to know him by the way we have grown. Our families, our work is so important, something God has given us to do. And then our ministry comes in at number four. And sometimes God can challenge us in these different areas, but if in a simple way, if we keep that like that, then we are able to do what God is calling us to do. So dodgy priorities is number one that will lower our tank. Number two is disobedience. Disobedience can very quickly run your tank dry and not make you feel refreshed and not make you feel rejuvenated. Perfect example of this is Jonah. Jonah, what did he do? God called him to go to Nineveh, but he decided, that's not where I'm going. I'm going to turn and go in the other direction. God called him to go somewhere, needed him to go somewhere, and he said, nah, I ain't doing it. Fortunately, God got him in the mouth of a fish and took him to where he needed to go. But that ain't going to happen to you. I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen to you. God's not going to put you in the boot of someone's car and take you where you need to go. You have to make a decision. And how much energy did Jonah expend trying to go in the opposite direction from God? If you've ever been on one of those things, like at a, I go to kids' places, so at a blow-up area, inflatable world is a great example. They have this little exercise where you strap yourself to a bungee cord and you've got to run as far as you can and then put a little thing up and measure how far you can go. And the amount of energy that you expend just to go 3 meters is massive because of what's pulling you the other way. And God, if God is calling you the other way, you are very gonna quickly going to leave your battery running dry when you're moving in the opposite direction than where he's calling you to be. That's a good one. Remember it. It's a challenge, I know. But if we want to be where God wants us to be and be rejuvenated, then let's be obedient to where he is calling us. The third one, there are three things. The third one is dirty fuel. Dodgy priorities, disobedience, dirty fuel. When we put dirty fuel into a car, we ain't going nowhere. At least we might get a little bit, but we are not going anywhere after that. And not only that, do we ruin our car. And by dirty fuel, I simply mean sin. If we're allowing sin to become part of our lives and to stay as part of our lives, then we are just going to keep using that fuel. Our battery is going to run dry. We're not going to be able to continue to do what God is calling us to do. Thankfully, praise God, we are forgiven. Thankfully, we are forgiven and we are able to be in relationship with him forever. But the need for repentance is always there. And it might be you tonight. It might be Kitty Cat. Probably not. Where's he going? Oh, the toilet. Kit. The toilet's over this way. That's the way. Good job. Whoa, Mum's got him. All right. For the sake of the podcast, Kit is a little boy and he was running around looking for the toilet. So we thought that important to stop the message for. Anyway. So the need for repentance is always there for us. Yes? Let's continue to challenge ourselves for that. So how do we know? How do we know that we're running fuel? How do you know you've run out of fuel in your car? It stops. That's it. You cease to go any longer. At least you try and roll as far as you can. Nothing works. So it stops. If you think about that in relation to our lives, we never want to get to that point. We never want to get to the point where we are so tired and our fuel tank is so empty that we just stop. We need to know what the signs are to prevent us from getting to that point. Fortunately, in a car, what do we have? A fuel gauge. It tells us how much petrol we have left, so we know when we need to stop at a petrol station and keep moving on. What is the fuel gauge we have? Of course, the Word of God is great because we can look at the Word of God and it tells us how we are doing. It tells us where we need to make changes in our lives. But for me, on a practical level, I'd like to look at my family and my friends because I fully believe that refreshment is reflective. Reflective refreshment. If Deb is refreshed, if she's bubbly, if she's like, hey, I'm ready to go, then that is reflective on me. I hope that by her being that way, it's going to do something in me as well. I don't know if you've probably know some people that just, they fill your tank. They really do. You like to be around those people who are encouraging and who are like, let's do this together. Let's get on this. But then the same is for the opposite, you know, people who it's just draining to be around. And it's hard because sometimes God actually puts you in a position where you need to be around those people. And it's not about avoidance. It's just knowing, what do I do when I'm in this situation? I had an experience where I was at a local shop where I was trying to buy something. And customer service, I grew up in a customer service industry and we were encouraged, you know, customers always right. Even when they're not, they're always right. And I was over there and I value good customer service. And unfortunately, I didn't get it in this case. And I was trying to buy something and I was talking about price because they do good deals on price sometimes and price match and whatever. And there was something that was a different price. It was only a couple of bucks cheaper somewhere else. And I was like, can you match it? And he's like, yeah, well, I suppose we can. It was pretty much how he said it. And then I'm like, oh, like, that's a bit strange. Why would you say it like that? And he said this. He said, I just think it's laughable that we'd be talking about a couple of dollars. My jaw almost hit the floor. And I did run out of that place as soon as I could because I just didn't like it. But what I've learnt over many, many, oh, many years, because I'm so old, what I've learnt is when having a relationship with people and when talking to people and you feel some of this opposition from them, or you feel like, man, they're not having a bad day, they're having a bad life, you know what I mean? It's not always a reflection on the way that I am being to them. It's not always a reflection of what's going on here. It could be spiritual, what's going on in me and what's going on with them and that clash. But it could just be that they're having a bad day, or it could just be they're having a bad week or a bad year. And if I make a decision that I am going to do what I can to refresh my soul, to get in the Word of God, to allow Him to continue to work into me, when I step into that situation, that I am going to be the positive one, and I am going to make a positive influence there. If I walk into that situation with an empty tank, then man, that is going to be tough because we're just going to, empty tank, yeah, I've got an empty tank as well. And everything just sucks. Let's make a decision to have a positive attitude and to be able to get into that. Knowing what God is doing in us is enough, more than enough, to be doing something in them as well. And yeah? Cool. So, sorry? Thanks. It wasn't at Chris's work. It wasn't at his work. He'll give you the best discount anyway. Talk to Chris if you want any white goods. So what can we do? There has to be a responsibility in us, right? There has to be something we can do. Once we've acknowledged that we are tired, once we've seen that fuel gauge tick down to where it shouldn't be, that we're running on empty, there are two things I've written down that we need to do. You can do more, but there's two things. Number one, make sure our vessel has no cracks. Thanks, Chris. Can I have that little thing, please? I bought a prop. So I've got a bucket here. Put that down there. I'm going to have a drink of water, guys. Is this fresh? Fresh enough. So this bucket. In Romans chapter 9, we hear the Apostle Paul speaking about God being the potter and us being the clay. And he molds the pot, he molds this vessel. He uses the term vessel into what he wants us to be, who he wants us to be. And we think about us as a vessel. Often we think about what's what's filling us, what's coming into us, what are we consuming, what's coming into us as a vessel. But I want to look at it a little bit differently tonight. This bucket is a regular bucket. I've got a couple of things inside it, but it's got a hole in it, okay? Sorry? It's a big hole. Yes, it is, because I want you to be able to see it. There's a hole in my bucket. No, I knew it would come. Dear Liza. So this, yeah, dear Liza. This bucket, let's call this the vessel, okay? This is a vessel. And so every one of us starts off like this. We all have this big gaping hole in us, and there's only one thing made to fit this hole perfectly, like a jigsaw puzzle, but not. But there is one thing and one thing alone that can fill this in us. And we all desire to fill this hole so that we can be filled or fulfilled with the things that life has to offer. When you think about vessels in your home, I think about vases and other decorations, other things that, whatever, that are unnecessary to your house. But when you think about vessels in your home, vessels don't, like, they don't actually do anything. They're not made to do anything. They are made to hold something. Yes? A vessel doesn't really do it except sit there, like most decorations. It just sits there. But it actually, it has a purpose, because its purpose is to hold something. So it's not what's on the inside of the vessel that not only matters, but it's what's inside. It causes the vessel to have purpose. Let me say that again, because I didn't say it very well. Vessels don't do, they hold. It's what's inside the vessel that not only matters, but forget that part, all right? It's not coming out right. You got it? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, great. Get on with it, Andy. All right. So this hole, it has a certain size. There's only one thing that can fill this hole. It's a God-shaped hole, by the way. I just want to let you in on that little secret. It's a God-shaped hole. But what do we do? Even before we become Christians, people in life, and even when we are a Christian, we know that this is a hole. And what do we? We try and fill it with different things. My kids helped me cut these and paint these today. It was great. Love, a relationship, and we can try and fill that hole in our lives with something that, though we try, just it may fill it for a second, but there are still holes in my bucket, dear Eliza. There are still holes. And what else? You know, you might try and fill it with a career or being a star or whatever you want, but you know what happens? We still don't. Yes, you're getting the point. Money. How many people do you know that are filling that in their lives with money at the moment? It's probably the worst one of the lot. There are so many holes. So many holes. But finally, really, any of these things you could call, any of these things are things that are causing us to seek the approval of others more than they're causing us to seek the approval of God. Is anything that is filling our bucket. But there is nothing, because it's a God-shaped hole. And as we put God into our bucket, he fills it up, and we have a purpose as a vessel once more. There it is. And we have our purpose here once more. But unfortunately, even once that happens as a Christian, there can be areas in our lives, like just what we were talking about with balance, that we think, yeah, we've got our God-shaped hole and we've got God in there, but my area of finances, I need to just get a control of that, and perhaps, you know, tithe is such a massive figure coming out, or giving or whatever it is, and we just decide to take a sliver. And God, you can have this whole part of my life, but this area I just need to handle myself. Maybe we don't even actually make the decision, but we just fall into it. We're just like, oh, I'm just going to do that in my own strength. And what happens is we put that in, and still, even though most of it is the shape that God wants it to be, there's still a hole in our bucket. So until we put all of God, every single part of our lives, into that bucket, we have a complete bucket that actually has its purpose again. And in doing this, as I said before, we have made our bucket to be the purpose that is at the end. And what is our purpose? of us being vessels, it is to carry and to hold the very presence and the very glory of God, His Spirit, in us. And how can we do that to the maximum if we're filling it with other things and there are holes in the bottom? We glorify God by allowing Him to fill our bucket and for Him to provide a solid foundation to our bucket and to us as vessels. So let me ask you right now, is there any area of your life where you've taken a sliver out? Because it's not God that cuts the holes. We are the ones that have the choice to cut the holes. Is there any area of your life? It could be a physical thing. It could be in your mind. It could be your emotions, which you just allow, God, I just want to deal with this myself at the moment. Is there any area of your life where you're allowing just a hole in the bottom of your bucket? So once we've looked at the leaks and once we've filled the bottom of the bucket, here's the second point, and here's the last one for tonight. We need to fill ourselves with the correct fuel. We need to fill our bucket with the correct fuel. If we go back to the text, if you've still got it open, turn back to it, and we're going to go from verse 13. You remember Jesus has stopped for some water to get him through to the next part of his journey. He's thrown out this cryptic line about him having the water that will never cause you to thirst again. And she's intrigued, as we all would be, by this. And we'll pick it up in verse 13. It says this, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. It goes on in verse 15, which we didn't read before. And it says, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Have you got that? The next one? Oh, I forgot to put that up. Sorry. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. And it's interesting for me because the woman didn't ask him how this would happen. She simply wanted the water. She's like, yeah, okay, great. Give it to me. Why? Because she was thinking in the natural and she was thinking, well, that means I just don't have to worry about it ever again. And it means I don't have to come back to this stinking hole all the time because it's always going to be in me. It was sort of a selfish, yes, please, I'll have it. And like this woman, sometimes I think we can miss the point. He says, this water I give, meaning God's Spirit in us, will satisfy every need of our soul. Every need of our soul. God the Creator knows. Just like a manufacturer of a car will recommend a certain fuel, God knows, as the Creator of us, what will fill that hole, what will fill us as vessels, what will enable us to have a water that will fulfill and give us refreshment ongoing. And the story goes on where Jesus asked the woman to go and get her husband. And she says she doesn't have one. And Jesus goes, that's right, you don't. You've had five, and the guy that you're with at the moment is not your husband either. And with Jesus highlighting the thirst of the need in her own soul, like us, that can only be quenched by God's Spirit in us. So what is that fuel? What is that that fills our bucket? What is that that continues that refreshment and that joy in us? I think about I think about people in church. There are some people that I know just have this. Every Sunday, no matter what's going on in their life, they come to church and they are just joyful. They are just filled. They are filled to the top and overflowing. And I think, man, you just have revelation constantly of God's love and grace for us through His Son, Jesus. And that is it. If we can continually have revelation of that, God's love and God's grace, that is what will fill our souls and prevent us from running low on fuel and allow us to be the people that allow this to be filled and overflowing. And when you've got no holes in the bottom of your bucket, when it's full, the only way to get water out is to pour it out, to pour it out, to pour it out on others. Praise God. In John 6:35, it says this, and we're just closing. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. We can be tired, we can be weary on our bodies. However, if our souls are full, here's where it's at. This is why this is so important. If we allow our souls to be full, then we are allowing ourselves to be available to be used by God, by his power and by his mind. Even when you are dead tired in your body, God, you can still use me because of what you have done and what you are doing on the inside. So let's just close our eyes tonight. There's a scripture in Isaiah chapter 55, and it says this: everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. How do we allow our tank to be filled to overflowing? Right at the end of that, listen to God and eat what is good, and allow his love to be that which fills us and spills out into the world around us. Exciting thing. So I just want to pray for a few people tonight before we go. And if this is you tonight, and maybe you've come here and you're like, man, I just relate. I'm just tired in my soul. You know, we can all get to that point. And I don't want you to take this message as one to make you think, well, I'm just not doing well enough. I'm just not doing good enough. I'm just not listening to the right things. Through our own circumstances and through what the enemy's going to try and do with us, we find ourselves and we can be tired. But we can make a decision every single day to allow God to be the one that refreshes and rejuvenates us for whatever is coming our way. Through reading the word, through worship, through devotion, you know, you might need to start making some good decisions about the way you spend your time. You might need to be making some good decisions about the friends that you spend the most time with. If you're here tonight and you need some refreshing in your soul, I would love to pray with you. But this is not a magic fix it tonight. This is not a click of the fingers. This is an acknowledgement to God that I'm devoted to making sure that I remain with a full tank. When it starts to get empty, I'm going to do something about making sure that, God, I spend time with you for you to fill me up, that I may be a blessing to others. If that's you and you would like me to pray for you tonight, why don't you just pop your hand up real quickly with no one looking around. That's you. You're just feeling tired. Just in your soul. I see this. Yeah, I see it. I see it. There's just circumstances going on around you that, man, it's just tough. Thanks, guys. You can pop those hands down. What I'm going to do is pray. What I'm going to pray for is a fresh revelation of God's love and God's grace for you, because that is what fills us. I'm going to pray that God's peace would come upon you in this time of toughness right now. I'm going to pray that he opens your eyes to decisions that you need to make to change things. If there is an area of your life where there is a hole that perhaps you've cut in your bucket. And I was thinking about this before in the prayer meeting, and God is saying to you tonight, man, I'm standing here and I'm waiting, and I have the tape in my hand and I have the scissors here, and I'm ready to help you patch this part up. I'm ready to make you whole again. I know you've ripped that bit of sticky tape off before, and however many times you've ripped it off, I'm ready to help you stick it back on. Let's do this together. Make me the Lord over that area of your life again. Let's make that decision tonight. So Father God, I pray for everyone who's here, but especially Lord God, for those people who have raised their hands tonight who are just feeling tired in their souls, where the pressure of life has been just massive of recent times or even for a long time. Lord God, I pray that tonight that you would just give them peace where they're at. That they would know without a shadow of a doubt that you are here, that you are with them, Lord God. That you can and that you will refresh their souls. Where there seems to be only darkness, Lord God, I pray that you would just shine light into those areas. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray, Lord God, that this night tonight would be the beginning of a change in their lives. that we would see evidence of the way that you are working in them on the inside coming on the outside. Lord Jesus, that there would be people in their lives, whether it be family members or friends, that would see that evidence of you working in their hearts, and that you would be glorified, Lord God, through the decisions they're making. Lord, for anyone who is feeling guilty right now of ripping that piece of tape off the bucket so many times and giving something over to God and then the very next day taking that back almost, Lord, I pray for them right now that there would just be an overwhelming feeling of your love and grace for them right now. That you are God of redemption. That you want to see us fulfilled, Lord God, in this life. And we thank you, Father, that you have let us know that the only way to do that is by 100% giving our lives over to you. So if you're here tonight, and I'm going to finish up, I promise. But if you're here tonight and you haven't made a decision to make Jesus the Lord over your life, that is the first step to any of this. You've tried to fill that hole in your bucket with relationships or with jobs or with career or with study or whatever it may be. There is an answer to that. And that God-shaped hole can be filled tonight by accepting Jesus and inviting him into your life. So if that's you tonight, why don't you raise your hand? I'm just going to see you. I'm going to pray and I'm just going to chat to you afterwards. If you want to do that tonight, why don't you throw your hand up in the air? Is there anyone here? Thank you, Jesus. And if you're putting your hand up on the inside, I'm proud of you. God sees it. God sees it and he knows your heart. And he's continuing to work on it. So Father, if there's just anyone here tonight, I thank you, Lord God, that you know them, that you love them. I just pray you continue to have your way in their hearts, as you do in all of ours. Lord, we want to continue to see you work in us. Continue to open our eyes afresh that we may be blessed to be a blessing to others. We pray these things. Pray you give us a safe week. In Jesus' name, amen.